Hi, everyone. Welcome to Try Catch, a podcast sponsored by EI2. We're diving into a new series called Innovation in the Wild, A Day in the Life. For this series, we dive into the real stories behind creativity and problem solving across our organization. Not the polished slide deck version, but the everyday moments where ideas spark, challenges push us to think differently, and unexpected inspiration shows up right when we need it. Each episode, we'll sit down with someone across the FCSA, Frontier, and Ag Country Associations who's living innovation firsthand. You'll hear about clever fixes, tech trends that turned into aha moments, and ideas that sounded a little out there until they turned out to be brilliant. Whether you're here for inspiration, curiosity, or just a great story, you're in the right place. Let's jump into today's episode and see what innovation looks like in the wild. This is part two of our interview with Shane Fitch. So we kind of touched on it a little bit, but would you say there's a different challenge for you when you're trying to innovate? And how do you overcome that?
Yeah, I'd say there is a pretty big challenge right now. And that challenge is that we're trying to explore a technology that is new to us as an organization, and it's also new to the world.
Yeah.
And so we're doing both of those things at once. And so it's not, when there is less maturity in the technology, you have to be much more enterprising and explore more curious.
Yeah.
To really chase things down and know that at the end of that chase, there might be nothing.
Right.
Right. It might just be smoke and mirrors or something that's not applicable. So it can be very challenging right now. And when we're looking at some of our, you know, for example, some of our platform providers like Microsoft, right? We're putting a lot of energy into Microsoft Copilot, building agents, things that we want to be able to deploy to teammates that will help them do their jobs more efficiently. And we run into this all the time where we go to documentation for something that Microsoft has out there. It's recent. Like, it's not like it's old.
Yep.
This could be got published 3 weeks ago and it's out of date. It's wrong.
Gotcha.
And so there's just so much rapid change, not only from the environmental standpoint, you know, I think Microsoft updates and revolutionizes how they're doing stuff. It feels like monthly. And then their docs aren't keeping up, right? So there's still just this rapid growth. There's still just this rapid expansion. There hasn't been a lot of stability. And so it's very challenging when you're trying to explore those technologies.
Yeah.
To have to constantly chase that moving target.
Yeah.
At the same time that you're trying to go, okay, how can we provide value with this?
Right.
How can we give this to folks to help them do their jobs better, serve customers better, you know, all of those things that we do around here. That's a huge challenge. Like it's a massive challenge.
Yeah.
But you know, we're working on strategies to make that easier.
Okay.
We're engaging with experts. Mm-hmm. So for example, we started an engagement with CDW's consulting group to help advance our maturity and in administering and maintaining the Microsoft layer for Copilot.
Yep.
We have brought on a contractor who's helping with agent development. And so what we're really looking at right now is, okay, we've done the foundational work.
Yep.
2025 was kind of the year of the foundation for AI, getting governance out, guidance, the AI site, training, pilot programs, you know, all of these established frameworks or platforms, excuse me, that we would want to use. And now 2026 is going to be kind of the year of how do we deliver? How do we rapidly mature in our capabilities and deliver value to the associations? And so we're engaging these resources to help us in that area.
Yep. That's really cool to hear how we know we want to keep running the race, but it's understanding how do we run it efficiently and effectively by also mitigating the risk of if we run too fast, what could that look like?
I mean, at this point, we kind of, you know, like I said, it is a new, it's not just a new technology for us. It's also a new technology in general for the world.
Yep.
And right now, I think the companies that are going to do the best with AI are going to be the ones that really embrace experimentation.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And they're taking as much risk as possible while still being responsible. But you can't try to force AI at this point, in my opinion, into the strict, mature
a box
governance and policy and process that we have for all of the other systems we have from a BT perspective.
Yeah.
Those are mature systems. We understand them well.
Right.
We've been using them for decades, and they operate differently than the AI systems do. They have different purposes than the AI systems do. And so if we want to rapidly advance our understanding, we have to kind of take the handcuffs off.
Yeah.
And I mean, keep it safe. Keep us in sandboxes that can't expose us to things that would be that would be harmful. But at the same time, we got to take those gloves off. Otherwise, we can't rapidly iterate.
Then we'll be behind in a week. Right.
We can't rapidly iterate on our understandings. Experimentation ends up having a ton of red tape. Getting anything done requires a ton of other resources. And so, you know, we're saying from an experimentation standpoint, our group is, you know, one of the key job roles of AI engineering is experimenting with new technologies.
Right.
And if we have to get a lot of other teams involved in that, well, those teams, that's not their job.
Right.
Now, they are there to enable, and they're there to help. But then we have to contend with the resource allocation on their end. They have other things that
timing,
are necessary.
All of the things.
And then we're saying, well, these are just experimental. And you start to go, well, where does that fit in prioritization?
Right. What's the value delivered? Yep. Yeah. All those things.
And so, so far, we've had great partnerships with the different teams that administer these platforms. They're very responsive, and they've been incredibly helpful. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we can continue momentum forward and be agile.
Yep.
And so that's always, that is a big challenge in the way that this works. So
yeah. Well, it sounds like exciting things coming for 2026 as we step into kind of the next level.
I hope so.
Using AI. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. Well, let me go back on this. So many people might have seen this when we first talked about it months ago when I started, but we do have our AI strategy out there. We do have the AI SharePoint site that was announced in a top story, I don't know, many months ago. But on that site, you can find the AI strategy. And the AI strategy has several things on it, but the three that I'm going to focus on here are the three main delivery pillars of how, like, the value that we want to deliver through these pillars. The first one is kind of AI as a service, I like to call it. So AI as a service would mean something like a platform provider that provides general AI services for us to consume. So for example, Copilot is AI as a service. ChatGPT would be AI as a service, right? They're not specifically built for one platform or one system. They offer expansion and connection. And then the second type would be AI on a platform. And so that would be the AI layer that a lot of services, cloud services are building on top of their platforms that are dedicated to their ecosystems.
Okay.
So that would be something like Cortex.
Yep.
AI. Salesforce, Agentforce, right? ServiceNow has an AI layer. And those are all built on top of those platforms with the purpose of providing AI capabilities for that platform.
Yep.
And then the third I like to say is like custom AI solutions. So this is where we're consuming AI services from something like Azure AI Foundry in custom applications to provide functionality that requires intelligence. So for example, we have an engagement with a group of UNO students for a capstone project. It's our first year doing this.
Exciting.
Yeah, and what we're building is a AI-driven, AI-powered, well, we call it AI-assisted credit narrative process. And so there's this process that happens where you have to write out credit narratives on decisions.
Yep.
And, oh, we've talked about it, but they haven't heard this maybe. So we'll let the people know. And they do about 1,200 of these a year, and they can take a decent amount of time because there's a lot of research that goes into it. There's a lot of mental capacity that has to go into trying to write out these narratives and justify decisions across the five C's of credit and the summary and all of that, right? And so we thought, well, it's a knowledge process and it's variable. Could we use AI to help assist this process? And we have to make sure that we keep a key qualifier as assist, because the goal is not to replace
right.
what people do. The humans are still the ones that have to make the ultimate choice and be yep. responsible for what work is produced. Mm-hmm. And so our concept was, can we make a system that can help assist the credit analysts in writing narratives? And so we've had this engagement going since, I think it was the end of August, early September, with these students, and we're building out, you know, our first native Python API that's out in dev. We got a UI wrapped around that, and we're integrating with Snowflake, mm-hmm. we're integrating with Azure AI Foundry to provide models. And we're slowly bringing each C online, and we're working with credit analysts, SMEs, yep. and we're going through that whole thing, and it's going really well. So that would be, you know, custom applications which consume AI.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the three key ways that we're trying to look to deliver AI.
Yeah.
And I think we've put a heavy emphasis on platforms. Mm-hmm. So with Copilot, I look forward to, in 2026, getting more involved in Snowflake.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of potential there. We have a lot of data that's getting brought in, that's gotten brought into Snowflake, and we can, yep. I mean, we can bring anything we want into Snowflake, but the point is, how valuable would it be to be able to unlock intelligence against our data?
Yep.
For various business users
for and sure.
People out there that would want to be able to just ask questions about the data, get intelligent analysis on our information,
yeah.
without having to know how to write SQL.
Right.
Without having to know how to create reports and graphs and all that stuff with yep. that information. So that'll be an exciting area to explore. There's a couple custom integrations, like custom application ideas that'll be interesting to explore in 2026. And I hope we get more. But we got a couple right now that I'm working on. One is for document intelligence. So I'm working with Ashwin Architecture on that and some other folks. But
yeah.
This is, hey, can we create a system that ingests documents and we can have intelligence on those documents? We can mm-hmm. ask questions against those documents.
Yep.
We can extract metadata on those documents and format it in a way that can be consumed by other systems. That's one experimentation. Another one is role play, sales role play. Mm. I was visiting the Perry office and this past summer, and they have sales folks out there, and they had floated this idea that, hey, we were using Copilot mm-hmm. to do these sales role plays to help prep us for prospect calls or customer yeah. calls. Well, they do it with each other.
Right.
But obviously you have to have two people to do it, which means you're taking the time of two folks.
Yep.
And maybe they're not always available, mm-hmm. right? And you need to get this done or whatever. So they were trying to use Copilot to do that. And they're like, well, it's nice, but, you know, I don't chat right. with prospects. I'm not, you know, just sending them messages. We talk. That got me thinking. Well, I was like, well, I wonder if there's opportunity for us to build something that mimics a conversation using AI, but through voice and audio. So I built a concept out to do that.
Yeah.
And so you can load this up. It loads a persona, which consists of some random pull of personas that I added just for, you know, example purposes, but
yep.
their name, their gender, their age, I think is in there.
Yep.
The operation type they have, what their concerns are, all of these little metadata pieces. And yeah. the AI is instructed to be like, you are this person. Your goal is to help salespeople prepare for calls. So you're going to act as this person and you're going to, you know, interact with them. And there's more of a prompt to that. And then at the end, when the user asks for feedback, you're going to give them feedback on what they did well,
yeah.
what they could have done better, and
that's great.
Areas that you would focus on. And that's what it does.
Nice.
And so that you can throw on a headset, you can run this thing.
And have an actual conversation.
It sounds like someone picked up the phone and says, yeah. hello, this is so-and-so. And
that's
you
crazy.
Go from there, and it's dynamic. It's dynamic, it's expandable. Now, nobody's using these yet, but the point is we're building out concepts
yep.
to show people possibilities.
Yes.
And
the opportunities. You
know, we're talking about how challenging is it to experiment. Not only is it challenging because the tech's new, but it's also challenging because the general knowledge and understanding of it is also very new.
Yep.
And so one of the biggest challenges that I have is trying to help people understand what this technology can do.
Yeah, most people, educating.
Most people still look at it as just a chatbot.
Right.
I go on and I ask it questions like Google, and it gives me answers.
Right. They think that's synonymous with AI.
You just ask it questions, it gives you answers. And so, you know, one of the challenges in this role in general too is trying to educate those people, educate folks out in our environment on what AI can actually do. Mm-hmm. And so the best way that I'm approaching that in my mind is to provide examples, demo it. It's hard to talk about a concept, you know, and try and explain how this thing would work. It's another thing to go, hey, look what this can do.
Yeah.
Would you find this valuable?
Yeah. Show and tell rather than tell and then maybe show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are things, that's the other part of it. The challenge, trying to build greater education, trying to show people what it can do, trying to inspire thought around it. Mm-hmm. You know, the more we can get people submitting ideas. And the funny thing is, you know, when we talk about product and BT, right? The relationship is, don't bring us your implementation. You need to bring us the problem you're trying to solve. Well, we almost have to ignore that for AI.
Yeah.
Because we need folks to go, hey, can AI solve this?
Can it do this? Yeah.
Not just be like, well, I have this problem I want to solve with an application. And the thing is, you know, we have so many decades of traditional design thinking with applications that we, you know, we can build and understanding how that process works, that we have to try and force a mind shift.
Pivot. Yeah.
A pivot into thinking like, yeah, in the past you may not have been able to do that with traditional computing,
but
AI might be able to do it.
Right.
Right. So what are all those ideas in the past you've been like, we just couldn't implement them.
Right.
Although they would be very valuable.
Bring them to the table.
Bring them over and be like, could AI do this?
Yeah. Ask the crazy questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting part at this point. It's kind of like, no, I do want them to ask, can AI do this?
Yeah.
I don't want them to go, here's my problem, because we need to think of those things that people are not thinking about or maybe gave up on before because our traditional methods couldn't handle it.
That's great. Okay. Speaking of crazy questions, for our last question, this one's kind of a make you think fun question. Sure. So if you could invent any gadget that would make your job easier, what would it be and why?
I guess it'd be an infinite money and infinite money and decision-making capability power. That way I could just
do whatever you want.
I can bring more resources on board. We can do a lot more experimenting.
Yeah.
Really, you know, like I said earlier, taking the gloves off is something that's going to allow for rapid maturity and growth in our understanding. Yeah. I get, you know, that's not always possible. We have different constraints and things that we need to abide by, and that those constraints can breed innovation in different ways.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, why would I want to make it harder on myself? I'd rather just be able to be like, all right, let's bring in these infinite resources of experts and things that can help get us on our way, bring in some training resources. Let's get all this stuff ramped up.
Just open it wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a device, but it's definitely, I guess there could be a button I push.
Listen, we could ask, can AI do that? So here we are. Awesome. Well, thank you, Shane. We appreciate you sitting down and talking with us about innovation and AI specifically and how that kind of corresponds and is opening up the door kind of to a whole new world that people can explore. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, this was fun.